Welcome in to X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network. Anthony Bellino, Ryan Elke, Danny Cahalan all joining you here this morning all across the great state of Michigan and Northwest Ohio from Traverse City down to Toledo. No matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening, we appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning from 6 until 9 on your morning commute. Dan is at Dan in the studio. Ryan is at Ryan L underscore key. I am at AEC Bellino. If you miss any portion of the show or you want some more information, you can visit MichiganSportsNetwork.com or you can hop into the conversation at any point today and text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000. Our Auto Value guest line is 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527, on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros, and of course, good morning to our television audience as well on Comcast Channel 900. If you miss our podcast, want to play it on demand, you can find it at SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Apple, Spotify, and of course, Google Play. Dan, Ryan, good morning to both of you gentlemen. How are we today on this Monday morning? How's life? How are things?
Well, we had two football games yesterday, and we have the World Series today, so it's a good week. I'm excited.
Life is good? That's what you're trying to tell me?
Does it really seem like it's the World Series, though? I mean, I want it to be, but it's just like there's going to be like 10,000 people there. It's going to be kind of boring, I think. I hope not.
You know, and I was looking at that with the championship series games because fans were allowed in, and it still seemed kind of noisy. It still felt like watching on television like they were playoff games. You know what I'm saying? Like it didn't necessarily, it wasn't, it's not like a ghost town. You know, Sundays are a ghost town, and they pump in the crowd noise, but Sundays are empty.
Oh, it has to be extremely weird.
It is so strange to just sit there and watch an NFL football game to be able to hear, you know, just about everything. And then there's just nothing. It's just white noise, right? Crowd noise comes in. If a guy gets injured, they just fade the crowd noise out. You wait until the guy is off the field. The crowd noise comes back up. You know, it's very strange to play in an atmosphere where there are no fans. Very strange. But for baseball, it does, and maybe it's just me, but it did kind of feel a little bit like, playoff baseball games. I don't know if you guys got the same feeling or the same gist from watching it on television, but we do have the World Series, a doubleheader of Monday Night Football last night. I'd love to know what the ratings from the Chiefs-Bills were. I would love to know that because, you know, we've talked a little bit about how the playoff ratings have been down. NHL, MLB, NBA, only one of those leagues really takes a lot of heat for their ratings being down, and that is the NBA. Well, I mean, we've talked about it. That's what happens when you start games at noon and 1 o'clock. You're just not going to get the same size audience that you would at 7 o'clock. Well, last night, the same thing. You know, it was 5:15, and I was like, holy hell, wait a minute. There's a game on right now. I was like, where's the TV? Which TV am I looking at here? How do I find this thing? You know, so it was a lot different. But I like it. I like it. At first I was like, yeah, 5 o'clock, it's early. Nah, that's fine by me. That is fine. This could be as early as you want to make it. And I'm in for it. So we have a very busy night tonight. We'll talk to John Wagner on MLB's postseason. He's got a very interesting thought and something that he actually likes about this postseason that maybe opened the door. And I don't know if I want to spoil it or if I want to wait. I think I'll wait, and then we'll also talk to Kyle Barlow as well. College hoops practices have kicked off. What's the plan for college basketball? Do we have any sort of plan to where if there is an outbreak? We were talking about this a little bit last week. You guys had mentioned Todd Kowalczyk's name, the head coach down at the University of Toledo. Yesterday it was announced that he did test positive for COVID-19, and he had made a comment, and Yahoo Sports had picked it up. Jay Billis was tweeting about it because he wants roster size, like, he wants to have some larger roster sizes. Like, he wants to push the season back past New Year's Day. And I, frankly, am okay with that. You can have March Madness in April. You know what I mean? You don't have to force and rush the tournament. And there, he was trying to, I wouldn't say lobby, but trying to just convey his thoughts about, hey, maybe we should take a look at this, step back a little bit. There's no reason to rush. We have the entire year. But what happens if there is some sort of outbreak? Are we going to be living week to week on, you had a game scheduled for Tuesday, you know, somebody at Central Michigan's got it, so we're going to bump that game now to the next day at Wednesday. If there are two games at one time, we're going to be doing split double headers. Like, there's a lot of questions to be answered in the college basketball world. I don't know if Kyle has any, but I definitely want to ask him how practice is going, how are things going as we get geared up and ready to go, because the college football season is right around the corner. When college football starts, you know, College Hoops is right after it. We have Michigan and Minnesota this week. We have Michigan State and Rutgers. We're going to have picks. Ohio State and Nebraska, what a real barn burner the Big Ten set up there. They said, Scott Frost, we've had enough of your comments this offseason. You get Ohio State week one on the road in the shoe. Like, so congratulations. They're going to get smoked. So we got a lot to get to.
Anthony, you bring up today. you bring up those double headers. Sir. I'm just thinking, like, college basketball, you know, let's just face it, the Big Ten, they stink at scheduling. They do these stupid 9 o'clock tips, and they're later. Are they going to actually start those games on time?
Okay,
because
so
they don't
split-
want the. Well, I'm just saying, because like MLB, NHL, NBA, they are. You know, if there's a delay in the game, it's in MLB this year, like, you know, if there was even an hour delay, they were like, we'll just play the game tomorrow. We don't want people sitting around close to each other. You know, if there's a three overtime game in college basketball, are they just going to delay the next game? Or are they going to there's so many things because of COVID that, like, you know, they've seen work that they should probably implement, but they're also not going to want, you know, half of their audience not seeing the game because there's no one even there anyway.
Yeah, so when I say split double header, I also mean that you play men's and women's games on the same day. Not that there's going to be two basketball games in the same day. I guess I should have clarified that. But if you have a men's game scheduled for a Tuesday and a women's game scheduled for Wednesday and something were to happen and you want to bump the men's game now to Wednesday because you're already going to have all of your game day operations crews already going to be there, plus you don't want the road team to have to spend any more time than they absolutely are necessary. Do you bump the women up to 6 and then play the men at 8:30? There are a lot of questions surrounding this, and I don't know, you know, with the travel, how it's all going to work out. You know, you're getting a maximum of like 27 games. So I already have one schedule in hand that I've been sent already. I'm still waiting on another one. Another two to get sent over, but in just taking a look at it, the way that home and road games are divvied up, how many non-conference games are you going to have available? Where are those non-conference games at? I think is another big question, you know, for, you know, college basketball. It's going to be very interesting to see how this whole thing really plays out in how all of our lives are just going to hang in the balance. I think, you know, cause what are we really supposed to do if, you know, you have a scheduled game on a Tuesday and there's a COVID situation, and they reschedule it for Wednesday or Thursday. Like, you're working Wednesday or Thursday. You know what I mean? And it's one thing if you work in baseball and you know that, hey, we have a 7-game homestand. There could be something that happens. We could, you know, have a doubleheader stacked in here somewhere at some point. We could have a couple of them if necessary. It's a little bit different where, you know, if you're planning on, you know, being in one city for a game Tuesday, one city for a game Wednesday, back to the original one for Thursday, back to the other one for Friday. You know what I'm saying? When you factor all of that in, it's like, when are we going to know? How are we going to do this? I am very concerned at a personal level. I'm very concerned on how this whole thing is going to work out, because if you're committed to one game one night and then that game gets canceled or postponed, what am I going to do? Somebody's going to get left hanging. You know, and that's just, I'd rather be overemployed than underemployed, but that's just the reality of the situation. It ain't going to be good. It's not going to be good. I'm very nervous about this. It's giving me anxiety, right? It's keeping me up at night. I'm tossing and turning, worried about schedules. So, but we'll get into all that with Mr. Barlow as well. By the way, is there anything more sweet? Is there anything more beautiful than watching the Dallas Cowboys get absolutely drilled on national television? Oh, I love it. We'll get into that and the Chiefs game. Both of those coming up next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
We have batteries, brakes, mufflers, and more in your auto value. Hard store, where service is the difference. We get it.
This month, True Fuel Premixed Oil is just $5.99. Perfect Stop Dot 4 Brake Fluid for just $3.49. And if it's time for new shocks and struts, then it's time for Monroe. Shop online at MyAutoValueStore.com and get 15% off orders of $75 or more with coupon code FALL15. That's Auto Value, where service is the difference. We get it.
These days, we're all looking for ways to keep our families safe and our homes free of bacteria and viruses. To help in these uncertain times, your local Rood dealer is offering a free healthy home analysis. They'll inspect your current system and make sure it's keeping you and your family safe from airborne contaminants. Visit Rood.com. That's R-U-U-D.com to find a dealer near you and to schedule your free healthy home analysis. Breathe easy and breathe healthy. Rely on Rood.
When you're in manufacturing, your competition isn't the company next door. It's companies around the world. You're constantly searching for highly skilled, well-trained workers, and you struggle to keep ahead of ever-changing regulation and compliance measures. With all that's happening, do you have time to explore R&D tax credits, IC disk structures, or inventory accounting methods? That's where we come in. We're Bean Garter. And while your business is manufacturing, our business is helping you run your business better. We'll assist with tax credits, help with inventory costing and control, and so much more. And while we may not be able to help you on the factory floor, we can help you create a solid business foundation. From high tech to hands-on, of all the things you make, make your business better. Experience service, expertise, and simplicity at Bean Garter. Find us online, beangarter.com. Bean Garter.
Choice of songs there, Dan. I wonder what the studio was like when this masterpiece was released. Welcome in to X's and Bros. No matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening, we appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning from 6 to 9 all across the Michigan Sports Network. Text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000, Auto Valley guest line 313-396-5527 to hop into the conversation, 313-396-5527 on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros, and of course, good morning to our television audience as well. On Comcast Channel 900. There was a there is a story out of East Lansing where linebackers Luke Fulton and Charles Wilkes have been recently suspended and charged with assault from early last month. Spokesperson for the football team said yesterday that both have been suspended from the program indefinitely. Luke Fulton, and you said that Charles was Kenny's brother, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so Charles Willekes and Luke Fulton are the two that are under suspension. Both are freshmen. So, I mean, I don't know what the expectation was. According to the online court records, Fulton's alleged offense took place on September 8th. He was originally charged with misdemeanor aggravated assault. Mike Nichols, his attorney, said yesterday that the charge was reduced to simple assault. According to the court records, Willekes' alleged offense also September 8th. So all I can picture is like these two young freshmen, because in the record list, a misdemeanor assault and battery charge for Willekes amended from a misdemeanor assault. The records also list a misdemeanor drunk and disorderly person charge. So in my mind, I've created already this image, two linebackers, two freshmen, probably had one too many drinks. Somebody might have said something along the lines. Maybe they picked the fight. I don't know, but they probably challenged somebody to hand-to-hand combat. And that's where we're at. That's where we're at with these two. But that story coming out. But I will say this. Mel Tucker kind of no nonsense here. And just, hey, here's what it is. We have charges. You guys are going to go to court. You're going to be suspended. You know, it's different.
Go deal
when
with you. It's don't worry about football.
Yeah, it's different when it's it's different when it's a star player versus a freshman. Like, you know. Things are much different. And, you know, you got to give credit to a coach who will, if something isn't right, whether personally or academically, the coach will say, hey, you can worry about football later. That's not that. And I think that you see more and more of that, I want to say, around here in the Midwest than you do in, let's say, I don't know, the SEC. Could be wrong in saying that, but that's just, I mean, that's the quick judgment there is when you see players that have crossed the line, whether, like I said, academically or personally, coaches hold them accountable, because at the end of the day, 99% of these athletes are going to go pro in something other than sports. Hell, some will go work at Enterprise. But that's what they tell me in their commercials, right? And it's preparing those young people for that next step of life. And some lessons are a little bit difficult, but at the end of the day, when you can say, I remember when Kareem Hunt got suspended at Toledo. I mean, senior year, got suspended. First couple games of the season. And it was like, well, you know, there was an issue. He said, you know, Coach Campbell at the time, it said violation of team rules. That was it. But it's when you send a message to where it doesn't matter who you are, these are the rules that we play by here. No one is above the law here. That's a really good lesson for young people to learn, especially young people with the status of a collegiate football player, where their entire life is different than a normal kid on campus. You don't just get to do whatever you want. You don't walk on water. You will be held accountable for your actions. You are a contributing member of this campus, a contributing member of this society, and you're going to act appropriately and accordingly. And I think that when you have coaches that aren't afraid to put their thumb on it, that actually serves, one, the entire team much better, and two, the individuals who are at issue. Now, I'm not all for just booting guys off of teams. I think that Nick Saban once said it best when asked about, you know, do you just kick a guy off a team? And I think he had referenced one of his days. Where was he at when he, oh man, I forget the player that he was talking about, but Nick Saban literally said, what do you think is better for that player? That we suspend him but keep him here? Or do you want me to send him back to where he came from? Because if I send him back to where he came from, I kick him for, off this team. If I eliminate his scholarship, it's a death sentence. And I heard that because I'm like, dude, there's no way you can keep a kid on the team if there is, depending on what the charge is now. If you are alleged to have sexually assaulted a female on campus and it comes out in the wash that, yeah, you are guilty of that, there's nothing you can't do anything for that person. At that point, you know, you can't have felonious assault on your record and expect to still get a hand up. Like, see you later. You know, but for some of these other things, which if this Michigan State case is, if I don't know the whole story, but if it's two guys fighting two guys that are, everybody's drunk outside in somebody's front yard, I'm not worried about that. That's not something I'm going to remove somebody from a team from, if you will. I just believe that when Nick Saban said that, it made me reconsider my position on, you cannot condemn some of these young people for mistakes that are made. Because when you do, what you're sending them back to, where some of these people are coming from, man, they don't have a chance. The fact that they even got to where they're at is a miracle. You know, not everybody has the greatest upbringing. Not everybody has great parents. Not everybody has both parents. It's just a fact. And when you have a kid that makes a mistake, use the mistake as a teaching moment. If they continuously screw up, the kid's just a screw up. Like, that is what it is. You got to let them go. But there's, you know, just on that Michigan State story, you're probably going to read about or see at some point today. We had two Monday Night Football games last night. The Chiefs beat the Bills 26-17 in the first game. It kicked off at 5 o'clock, which was awesome. The Buffalo Bills, they fall to 4-2. I'm not hitting the panic button on the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen talking about, like, we can't play like this. Like, okay, all right, you did lose a couple of games. You're going to be fine. Everything's fine. Game number two, the Cardinals smoked the Dallas Cowboys last night. I'm talking by the tune of 21-3 at halftime. How many points you end up getting from Kyler? What did you need from Kyler? You needed like 80 points from Kyler Murray?
I needed a Michael Vick performance plus 20. Like, do you all remember that Monday night with the Eagles where he put up like 60 fantasy?
Yeah, he just went nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, I needed that and then some.
He had like 7 scores or something.
Right.
Because Kyler was playing some decent ball yesterday. I was like,
he had a good game.
Ryan needs these. I was rooting for him.
Right. Well, like, my fantasy week was just as good as my picks this week. Like, ugh. It was not great. Like, I ran into some, not just bad bye week, but just also like, No one perform. Like, in one league, I had no skill player score a touchdown.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm outside sorry to
hear of, like, that. Well, I had Amari Cooper last night. He ended up scoring a touchdown. My only skill position score. But I also had Russell Wilson on bye. Justin Herbert was my backup, but his bye week got moved to this week, so I ended up having to play Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Mm.
So, not a good week all around for fantasy land and picks.
No, definitely not. And I got eliminated from my suicide league because I picked the Rams. We were all in on the Rams this week, and I said, you know, Dan feels good about them. Ryan feels good about them. Everybody's feeling real great about the Rams. I'll take the Rams, and they just completely wet the bed against the San Francisco team. That if you'd asked San Francisco fans last week, like, how do you feel about Jimmy Garoppolo, they would have been ready to put him on a SpaceX rocket and shoot him to Mars. And now all of a sudden they come out and did that to the Rams. Like, what? But to see the Cowboys melt down, I know it's different without Dak Prescott, obviously. You know, Dak Prescott is the perfume on the pig. He covered a lot of just holes on this team because he was able to put points on the board. You saw the impact of him not being on the field. And what that meant, Zeke fumbles a couple times. He is not the same player post-contract. That's sad. The Dallas Cowboys got serious issues. So, I at the end of the day, love to see the Cowboys lose.
That and the worst thing about it is the Cowboys are still in first at 2-4.
Is that not disgusting? That is terrible. But, hey, that's the league. I mean, that's their division. Welcome to the NFL. All right, we're going to step aside. We're going to talk a little baseball with our good buddy John Wagner. Coming up next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive, boys and girls, high school sports, MHSAA.tv. That's MHSAA.tv. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. No computer can match its intellect. No work of art can rival its beauty. And there is nothing on earth more personal than your brain. It defines who you are. It determines how you love and what others love in you. Your brain is unlike anything we have ever known or will ever see. And in a moment, all of that can change forever. Traumatic brain injury, TBI, can happen anywhere, at any time, to anyone. TBI can define who you are. TBI can determine how you will love. There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. And for victims and families of TBI, there is nowhere on earth like the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Anthony Bellino here in the radio bunker. Danica Halen and Ryan Elke in our Motor City studio. Join us on the horn as he does each and every Tuesday morning. My good buddy John Wagner, who covered the Detroit Tigers organization for a couple of decades. John, my friend, how are you, partner? Life is good?
Anthony, life is just a little slice of heaven. How is life treating you, man?
It's good. I have no complaints. We just got a couple of start times for some games that I have to work coming up. So life is going to get a little bit more hectic. But John, the one thing I can say in all of the chaos of the COVID-19 shenanigans that's taking place here, the global pandemic, is that for, and I say this with respect to those who have lost some of their jobs, and a lot of folks that I know that worked in minor league sports were out of work for a while, were furloughed or laid off, and are trying to land on their feet here. So, you know, I don't mean anything by this other than the fact that it's been nice to kind of slow down and be able to gather myself and not have to go a million miles an hour in a million different directions. And I've got no complaints, but I'm getting my first whiff of the schedules for college basketball and college football upcoming. And it's going to slowly but surely turn into a disaster, my friend.
and that's not a good sign, Anthony, because man, I've heard there's a college football game Saturday.
There's going to be a whole bunch of them, but lucky for me, John, we're not going to start the one I have to work until 8 p.m.
Oh, how great. Hey, at least you're not going to be in the frozen great white north of the land of 10,000 lakes for the football game you're covering. It's going to be wonderful here. Glorious Minnesota weather. Glorious weather.
You know, I'm just throwing this out here, but there's a whole bunch of states in the United States to where you could relocate and try to find something warmer. I'm just throwing it out there.
You know, that's what I was told. But of course I thought, you know what, if I'm going to leave Ohio, I should go to Minnesota. That's where I should go. So here I am. And rest assured, Anthony, I am not considered the sharpest knife in the drawer. But let's talk baseball, shall we?
One thing we don't have to worry about here is baseball weather and it being inclement. We have had perfect nights for the game, which for the game ops crews and the game day staff that are there working, how fortunate are they to be able to luck out into this? They get their hours, they're going to get their paychecks, and they are not going to have to worry about pulling tarps for God knows how long to get these games underway. But let's circle back into the weekend, right? We'll start on the NLCS side, where the Dodgers, they tied their series 3-3 against the Atlanta Braves with a 3-1 victory on Saturday, which was outside of the other game in the AL. But we'll start with the Dodgers. When the Dodgers won that game, did you feel the pendulum shift to the point where it was like, hey, Sunday, this is the Dodgers game to win, and the Atlanta Braves are going to go up 3-1 in a series and blow it? They are going to lose this. They're going to squander another lead, which it's simply, I'd simply put, I believe the entire city of Atlanta is now cursed when it comes to blowing leads because they are good at this right now. But the Braves go up 3-1, and then to lose that game Saturday, did you feel like, hey, it's all Dodgers now?
Not a chance. And
really?
In fact, if you're watching those games, how could you? Put it this way. Look, go back to game 7, okay? If Atlanta has spit the bit on this, how do they score 2 runs and 3 runs in the first 2 innings? How do they go out and take a lead like that so very quickly? Now, trust me, they made mistakes. The base running double play was just,
Tigers fans were giggling at that.
That is Toot Bland at its finest. You know what Toot Bland means, don't you?
I have no idea. Educate me.
Toot Bland is code for thrown out on the bases like a nincompoop. And it's basically bad base running. And they ran themselves. And frankly, when I watched it and looked at it, I didn't have a problem with Swanson trying to go home. But Riley not getting to third was just deadly. And Markakis not getting to second was just as bad, if not worse. You know, they should have had runners on second and third with one out, I believe. Instead, they had just a runner on first with two outs. I mean, just deadly. But let me go back to the main premise here. I don't really feel like Atlanta blew it as much as the Dodgers did what they needed to do to win. Let me ask you this. Tampa Bay, switching to the American League for just a second, mm-hmm. You realize that Tampa Bay nearly spit the bit and lost 3 straight to Houston to lose the American League. Do you feel like Tampa Bay choked on that lead and then barely won? I mean, is that how you feel?
I kind of do. I mean, you're up 3-1 so the other team's back against the wall, and I know it's a little different in baseball because it all depends on how good is your pitcher that day and how good is the opposing hitting. There's a lot of, I don't want to call it luck because it's a weird mix of luck and skill, but you got to catch somebody on the right day. You know what I mean? So if you lose game 5, that's okay. But, you know, to lose game six and to lose what feels like the momentum in the series, I thought for sure, I was like, Houston is going to, they're going to come back. They're going to go from down 3-1, come back and win this thing. And they're going to aggravate all of America until the Tampa Bay Rays came through to be America's team. Don't let anything that happened on Monday Night Football, the Dallas Cowboys, convince you otherwise. The Tampa Bay Rays are officially America's team for doing away with those cheating scoundrels in Houston.
Well, and my point to get to this is that there's a little bit of luck, but you really did nail it. Sometimes it's circumstance. Who is your starter, you know, in that seventh game? Who do you have available? That's why I adored these 7-game and 7-day series. Just adored them. I'm tired of the series where you only have to have 2 starters, maybe 3 because you have so many off days. Here, in these 2 series, if you didn't have enough depth of pitching to cover the innings, you got exposed, I thought.
Major League Baseball look at this and say, hey, you know what, we have something here. Maybe we should look into trying to continue. Obviously, it won't be the same because they're not going to be, hopefully in the future, playing at a neutral site in the same ballpark, you know, every game. But will this be, you think, something Major League Baseball looks at and say, hey, we got to tighten up these series a little bit in terms of the amount of days that it takes to play an entire 7-game series?
I doubt it. I doubt it because that travel day, you know, especially think of this. And I'm just making up 2 teams here. Let's say your championship series is the Yankees and Oakland, just to prove a point here. Or Atlanta and Los Angeles. You're basically going across the country to play these series. You need that travel day, okay? So they'll look at it. I would be stupefied if they ended up shrinking it. Frankly, I would rather they would look at the neutral site paradigm.
Really?
Kind of doing like this. Yeah. I mean, is anybody complaining about the a team in the Super Bowl not getting to host a home game? No. Anybody complaining about that?
Nope.
Let's make it a jamboree. You know, and let's say COVID-19's off the table for just a second. Pick a neutral site. Set it up for 7 days worth of games. Or, you know, give it a break if you want to make it 8 days to play 7 games, okay? And find a site where that has a dome and can give you the weather you need to have baseball, not, you know, frozen tundra ball where you're, you know, I mean, could you imagine if the Twins or the Tigers or the Indians or, you know, some bitterly cold weather team hosting a World Series and it's 15 degrees at first pitch? You know, nobody wants to see baseball in that way. You know, even I, and you know me, Anthony, I'll watch baseball in just about any condition. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see baseball played in sub-zero temperatures. No one does.
It's interesting. Interesting you bring that up because I look at the 06 World Series because I actually went to one of those games. I mean, you're probably going to laugh at me, but we were so high up and behind home plate that when the Jets flew over for the national anthem, I thought that I was like, hey, you know, if I just had like some sort of like hook here, I could just hook myself on. They could just fly me away from here if necessary.
When the Jets drove by, you ducked. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it was really something to behold. But you look at the series dates for that. That was October the 21st through the 27th. And I remember it being cold to the point where I had jeans on. I remember the jacket that I had on and the ticket credential and everything like that. Oh, Jim Leland versus Tony La Russa, the good old days, a 4-1 St. Louis Cardinals mollywhopping of the Detroit Tigers. That's neither here nor there, the outcome. But it would be nice, to your point, to say, hey, we're going to take weather out of it. But then I fear that it's what happens with the Super Bowl is, okay, if you have a dome stadium, you're going to get a Super Bowl. They dabbled with New York. They got it over with. They went to Minnesota. Everybody complained about the fact that it's like negative 20 degrees outside trying to get from point A to point B. It's too cold. They'll probably never go back. They have come to Detroit. But they typically stay in the warm weather to, you know, try to find some convenience. And every once in a while, the Colts and Bears in Miami, Peyton Manning's Super Bowl there with the Colts. Like, the inclement weather is going to break out. He was going against Jay Cutler. A lot of rain. It was a terrible night for weather. But you think that, you know, I look at the way college football does it. It's like the same stadiums every year. It's like New Orleans gets it, Atlanta gets it, and it's just constant over and over. And it's like I kind of like the idea of the home field, the home court advantage, if you will, because then you get the home crowd. You've eliminated that aspect of it.
That's very true, but I would say in a lot of ways, and primarily with ticket prices, you've already aced the working fan out of World Series games anyhow. I mean, who can afford these games?
Yeah, but don't act like a guy who's making $500,000 a month that can't like hoot and holler and yell. I mean, the World Series games are pretty. I mean, look at Bartman. Well, I wonder what he did for a living when he got in the way of that.
Well, having said that, think about all those Atlanta Braves games when the playoffs where they didn't have a full house either. You know, some people just don't support it as they should. Some places. So
this is true.
I got to be honest with you, Anthony. I'm just throwing it out there. Greater minds than yours and mine will determine this, and you know what's going to drive the decision. Don't kid yourself. It's nothing but money. Money will drive it. But to me, going to a neutral site and telling a fan or telling a big roller, hey, let's go to, you know, pick a place, San Diego, for a week of baseball games and festivities and warm weather and et cetera, et cetera. And especially knowing that it's going to be in San Diego, okay? We set the Super Bowl site or the World Series site in January. You've got 10 months to work up for it. You've got 10 months to get the money together for it. Let's go and have some fun and make it a show. And I got to be honest, I think it would make boffo money. Boffo money.
He's John Wagner. He joins us every Tuesday morning here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network and talking a little playoff baseball and the neutral site. And do you think it's played a role at all in these games? You mentioned having to have the depth of pitching, having to have the conditioning on your roster. And obviously it's a shortened season, so everybody's pretty fresh to this point. But just having the pitching and the timely hitting, I mean, to me, there's no real formula. Either you get lucky and you win the thing or you don't.
Yeah, you know, to go to your point about home field, there have been so many young pitchers in this series that you wonder if some of them might have been affected had they have to play in front of a hostile crowd. Would they have been as effective? I think that's a fair question to ask. Some of these guys are awfully talented and have had a fair amount of experience. And these guys, even if there's no crowd, they know they're playing for the World Series, so there is some pressure. Would playing in front of a home field, would that give them more of a home field advantage? Probably. I don't know if it has been a huge advantage or a negligible one. You know what, though, Anthony? As I'm sitting here cogitating on that, I'd like to ask you a question that's kind of off the wall.
And let me just ask you a question beforehand. What does cogitating mean? What do I need, a thesaurus? I mean, Doc Emmerich retired yesterday, and you're out here talking about cogitating right now. I feel like I'm getting waffle boarded off my own show.
I was going to try and use waffle boarding next. Well played. Here's cogitating means thinking deeply. Really, really making the gears turn in the brain, okay? So go back a few months. When this baseball season was being considered, were you a big fan of them playing? You know I was not. Were you a big fan? Did you want them to play?
Yeah, yeah. Not only did I want them to, I needed them to. I had my own personal agenda and motivation there. I'm like, oh, you guys need to get back out on the field. The talk about the money right now, everybody losing their job is a bad look across the board. Calm down, have these conversations behind closed doors, get your ass out on that field. Figure it out. Take a couple tests. Take care of your business and your personal life. Don't be out raging like Mike Clevenger in Chicago downtown, trying to get a little, some scallywags out there. You got to man up here for 3 months. That's what we're asking you to do. You got to buckle down and stay disciplined for 3 months. And if you can't do that, then I don't even know why I'm calling you professional to begin with, because you're just a child at that point.
Right. Well, regardless, let's give Major League Baseball their due after
Amen.
Some early waffling. They got it right, and it's the fear. Well, the fear didn't go away, but the problems caused by cancellations and stuff did. So let's give baseball its credit for doing that. But I also remember you and I talking at length about this being an asterisk season. Do you still feel, and it seems to me that you thought this was an asterisk season. Am I putting words in your mouth, or was that your feeling?
Yeah, only if the Houston Astros win is it an asterisk season. My thought and theory behind it and with the NHL and the NBA is this is going to be a time that we will remember for the rest of our lives. Our children will know about what happened here. And however we figure out how to move forward, if we ever move forward and get out of neutral, which is what I feel like we're doing right now. If we ever move forward with this, whatever the case may be, we will look back at the year that is 2020 and probably going to carry into 2021 as, you know, a couple of very difficult years. But everybody had to play by the same rules. You know, it's not like, it was different, and some people want to, you know, disregard what the Lakers did or what the Lightning did. At the end of the day, the teams that were able to get into the bubble, they went into the bubble, they competed, and they won. So whether you're the Tampa Bay Lightning or the LA Lakers, either way, yeah, I would put an asterisk on this just to make sure that everybody knows that this is the year that a global pandemic shut down America, and we had to restart in a time that nobody knew what the hell was going on. The tests, the protocols, and everything that these guys had to go through to get out there, they were still able to get out there and win. So my asterisk isn't necessarily to take away from what happened, but more or less to emphasize the chaos that was this season across all sports.
Well, let me just say that, and I think you and I are going to be similar, even though I'm about to take the other side of this and basically say, if you think this season deserves an asterisk, you're nuts. But having said that, Anthony, I think you and I are on the same board here. This season, yes, it was 60 games, not 162. A lot more teams made the playoffs. The playoffs were very different. The style of the World Series was very different. Set all of that aside, and I think you can, because this is one of the rare times where the two best baseball teams are meeting in the World Series. I think we can legitimately say the winner of this World Series is the best team in baseball. For example, I'm not sure we can say that about last year. I mean, the Washington Nationals won the postseason tournament, okay? Kudos. Hoorah. Good for you. But were they really the best team in baseball? I mean, a fluky play in the outfield against Milwaukee, and they don't even get past the wild card round, much less win the whole thing. This year, I think the teams that made the playoffs earned it. I think the two teams that have made the World Series have very much earned it. And I think we have the two best teams. I think the champion will be very easy to call the best team in baseball. So for all those people who are worried about, well, we're going to need to put an asterisk on this year, I would say take a flying leap. This year, we've got the right team, and whoever wins deserves to be the champion.
He's John Wagner. We'll be cogitating over those words all morning long. John, my friend, as always, thank you so much for your time and your thoughts and your input on the game of baseball. We love you for it. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your week, okay?
Anthony, you too. Everybody stay safe and stay healthy.